Two things here, Jesus says. Hungering, as I thought about this and looked at this, there are really two positions in relationship to hungering and thirsting. Two positions of reality in regard to how we approach all of this. The first is this. I'm feeling starved. Okay, this hungering, thirsting. I'm feeling starved for this righteousness that God's talking about. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness. I'm starved for it. What does it feel like to be starved? Have you ever been on an extended fast where you feel deeply hungry? Where you feel that hunger? Or as Margaret would say for me, Dale, have you missed a meal and feel hungry? I feel hungry all the time. But Jesus is saying there's this hunger and thirst. He's saying, on one hand, are you starved for? Are you hungering and thirsting for? Are you starved for this righteousness that I am and that I have for you? The second side of that, the second position, is this. Am I highly motivated to do everything I can to get this righteousness of God? Is there an active pursuit on my part? Is this hungering and thirsting something that drives me to find out? It drives me to want to get this which God has for me. So there are the two sides. The one, that feeling that I have of being starved for this reality, this truth of God. The other is this motivation that drives me. I'm so hungry and I'm so thirsty that I'm driven to get this that God has for me. So first of all, it's this feeling of not having. And secondly, it's this unquenchable desire to get that which God gives. And then the third piece of this is the combination that I chose. This quality of purity of heart. Purity of heart. In Mark 10 that we read earlier, and Jesus inviting the little children to come to him, and his statement that, unless you have the heart of a little child, you will not be able to enter the kingdom of God. What's he saying there? What is it about children that is so special that God used this illustration to make this strong, strong statement? Well, I believe it has to do with purity of heart. Think about the honesty of a little child. They just up and say it, don't they? It's just, this is the way it is. And there's no hesitation, there's no sense of which they're trying to hide something. They just out and out say it. There's a purity of heart that is there. There's an honesty of heart that is there. We need to ask ourselves, am I completely and totally honest in my desire to know God? Am I completely and totally honest in my hungering and thirsting for this righteousness that is God's? Am I completely and totally honest in my evaluation of myself? I've seen within myself numbers of times, and certainly have seen this as others have come and talked to me about finding this spiritual reality in their lives, that there are many times that I'm not totally honest with myself. I'm not totally honest with who I am, with my feelings. When I talk to Margaret, when we talk about things, there are times that she has to ask me additional questions to get the honest answer. When it comes to our relationship with God, our relationship with Jesus Christ, this purity of heart, this depth of understanding, this depth of honesty is something that God is calling us to. And it's something that is not easy to come to. It's something that You know, we have to really focus our attention on and allow God to question us to be able to say that, you know, well, maybe I've not been really honest here. And if I'm going to be really honest, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm saying. We need to examine our hearts to see whether or not there's really purity of heart. Jesus says that those who honestly and hunger and thirst for God's righteousness, that which God says is right, are going to find what God states to be true. And when we do that, we're going to be satisfied, knowing that the principles of life on which we build our character and choices are going to be things that honor our God. As Christ followers, I believe we all want to honor our God. We want to bring honor to our Lord and our Savior. We want to bring honor to Jesus Christ. In order to do that, there needs to be purity of heart, and then there needs to be that commitment. The second part of this discussion about righteousness has to do with our personal redemption and salvation. Jesus states in Matthew 5:20, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." I'll read that again, Matthew 5:20. "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." This righteousness has to do with our spiritual position before God. Two questions to ask in regard to this. Number one, am I redeemed and spiritually right in God's eyes? That's the first question. The second question is somewhat similar. Or am I still a sinner and not reconciled to God and right in God's eyes? I want to go now to Romans chapter 3. And I want to read verses 21 to the end of the chapter. And this is Paul talking about this very question that we're raising now. "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God," okay, the righteousness of God, God is righteous. God does what is right. God is totally right. There's no way that we can find anything wrong with God. So, Paul says, "But apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness," okay, and this is important for us to understand, "this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and all far short of the glory of God, and all are justified by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness." Okay, to demonstrate his righteousness. What Paul's saying is to demonstrate God's right thinking and right action in relationship to sin and our sinfulness. "To be received by faith, he did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that works, that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of the Gentiles also, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith. Do we nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. So we're talking about this righteousness. Jesus in the Beatitudes says, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be satisfied. Okay, so there's first of all this satisfying of our lives and our hearts as we come to know God's truth, as we come to know His righteousness, His right thinking, His right laws, His right truth that comes to us. And now we come to this other piece that has to do with our spiritual salvation and our redemption. The righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believe. Now, Romans chapter 4, the next verse, Romans 4, 3, the next chapter, we read, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Salvation is ours when we confess our sin and commit our hearts and our lives to believing in God. And when we do this, God tells us that we are righteous. This being righteous means that we are right with God. So, Jesus is teaching in the Beatitudes, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness are going to be satisfied. He says, the pure in heart will see God. Do you see how they fit? How it works together? Do you see the reality that, you know, part of this that Jesus is talking about is our ordering our lives and our study, our seeking in the Scriptures, in the Bible, what God has for us. And then we will receive the right knowledge and understanding to do life. And the other part is that righteousness that is ours because of what Jesus has done. So these two truths. We need to be people who are doing all we can to honestly and with a pure heart discover God's truth. Discover God's truth and what God says about how we are to live. And this then is the moral foundation that sets the standard of our living for people who say that we are Christ followers. And then the second, we need to understand that we become righteous, we become people who are saved from our lives of sin and are redeemed and holy and pure before God because of Jesus' righteousness and what He did by going to the cross. So we need to understand that we become righteous because of Jesus. Purity of heart. This call from Jesus to hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's the question that God brings to us today. Are we hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Well, you need to answer that, yes or no. And then the second question that we all need to ask ourselves, am I being pure in heart? Am I being honest like a child? Am I being honest with my questions, my thoughts in relationship to what Jesus is saying to me in regard to righteousness? We're going to close today by singing 358. It's a song that I hadn't sung in a long time. It's one that was often used in my childhood as I was growing up that calls us to a statement, calls us to a question, calls us to make a determination within ourselves as to what we are going to do. So stand with me as we sing.